So last year, our Psalm of the Year was Psalm 84. And in that Psalm, we talked about last January how we are, as Christians, we're pilgrims on a journey. We're on a journey back to God. We're pilgrims in this world. This is not our home. And that Psalm ended, Psalm 84:12, and it said, "Blessed is the one who trusts in you." Blessed is the one who trusts in you. So this year, our psalm is of the year is Psalm 1. And in this psalm, we see it says that blessed is the man who delights in the law of the Lord. So we were blessed in Psalm 84 by trusting in the Lord, and we're blessed here by delighting in His Word. So I've dubbed this year, 2023, the year of God's Word. May it be so for me and for you. And what I mean by that is, in response to the grace of God in our lives, in response to His love, in response to the gospel of Jesus Christ, we want to respond to Him by communing with Him more and more, by reading His Word more, by studying His Word more, by meditating on Scripture more, by memorizing more Scripture, by praying more Scripture, by sharing Scripture with each other and with other people. All in response to His grace. We want to do this individually. We want to do this together, corporately. And this is really all for our joy in knowing Jesus better. When I speak of joy in our relationship with God, we all know there are many barriers to our joy in Christ. It can be sickness as a barrier. Satan is a barrier to our joy in Christ. Our own sinful flesh is a barrier. This world, which is deceitful, is a barrier to our joy in Christ. Family strife can be a barrier. Our own fears and anxieties can all be barriers. There are lots of barriers to having joy in our relationship with Jesus. And I'm convinced that as we seek to grow closer to the Lord in 2023, we will see opposition. I'm not a prophet. I cannot pretend to know what that would look like. But I just believe it will be so, that it will be a fight to grow closer to the Lord. But here's what I know from God's Word. With God, we shall do valiantly. God will be with us. And it's through His Word that He will strengthen us and see us through this year as we seek to grow closer to Him. So, our Psalm of the Year, some of the ways we will incorporate this into our years today, we will spend a little extra time of prayer together after the sermon. We will have several prayer meetings in January where we will slowly pray through this psalm, using the psalm as like a guide for our prayers. And again, I'm encouraging and inviting you to try to memorize the psalm with me. So the title of the sermon today for Psalm of the Year is Let's Fight for Delight. Let's fight for delight. Delight in God. Delight in our relationship with Jesus. So we'll go through this passage and look through several aspects of what that fight looks like. And my main point today is that we would all seek an overflowing joy in Jesus through His Word. That we would seek an overflowing joy in our relationship with Jesus through His Word. So let's take a look. So our first point today is when we fight for delight, we actually are fighting from the delight of Jesus. Jesus actually delights in us. And that's the basis and the power and the encouragement in our fight as we seek to get closer to Him. He's already done everything to come close to us. So I want to make it abundantly clear as we think about this psalm where it talks about, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. You are not that blessed man or a blessed woman who is delighting in God perfectly and who's not sinning. That's talking about Jesus Christ first and foremost. I want to start with that today. So Jesus is the blessed man. He is the only blessed man who's ever walked this earth. And for Christians, we're connected to Him. So Jesus did not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Jesus did not stand in the way of sinners. He did not sit in the seat of scoffers. And that does not mean that he had a snobby turn of his nose at sin, like you might be able to say, you might be able to think these verses imply. Jesus was a friend of sinners. Jesus ate with sinners. He rubbed shoulders with them. So what this means is that Jesus was not walking in their counsel. He did not believe everything that sinners believed. He did not live his life in a sinful way, like we sinners do. He did not stand in their way. He didn't walk with them. He didn't sit in the seat of a scoffer. He did not scoff with them. But he was not judgmental in the sense of being self-righteous. He actually had a zealous love for sinners. So Jesus was the perfectly sinless man, even in his perfect love for sinners. Jesus perfectly delighted in God's law. That's what it says, that the blessed man, in verse 2, will delight in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. Only Jesus did this. Only Jesus could do this. Do you know that there are 613 laws in the Old Testament? In order to be righteous before God, you would have to keep every single law, every single day of your life. And not just outwardly keeping the law, but inwardly, in your heart, doing it from love for God and love for other people. Who can even pretend to keep the greatest commandment for one day? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbors yourself. We've all failed that. Jesus is the only blessed man. Jesus fulfilled all of the laws. Jesus is the one who is like a tree, in verse 3, planted by streams of water, yielding fruit in its season. His leaf does not wither. In all that Jesus did, he prospered. He is the righteous man. Jesus is the fulfillment of Psalm 1. So before we think about how we're going to pursue God more this year, we need to know that we can't, apart from faith in Christ. It's only through Jesus, his righteousness, his love, his mercy that he showed us. As we see in John chapter 1, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Why did Jesus do that? To save us. So Jesus, even though he did not sin, he fell by our sinful counsel, wicked sinners like us. Even though Jesus did not stand in the way of sinners, he did take our sin. He did sit in the seat of scoffers, in that he was judged by God for your sin and for my sin. And he drank the cup of God's wrath for us. So Jesus is the blessed man in his life, perfect righteousness. He's the blessed man in his death, a substitute for you and me. And he's the blessed man in his resurrection. Jesus is alive. And that's why we have hope, brothers and sisters. It was for the joy set before him, Hebrews 10 tells us, that he endured the cross. So the best way for us to start the year is to know the delight of Jesus. The delight of Jesus for you, sinner though you are. It's not a delight in you because you're good. It's a delight in you in spite of your badness. That's how good is the love of Jesus. That it is out of his goodness that he loves you when you don't deserve it. So that is the best way we can start our year, is to know his delight in us, though we deserve it not. So I invite you, brothers and sisters, come and find your heart's delight in him. Come and be blessed by faith in the blessed man, Jesus Christ. So all that we're doing in the Word this year is I'm encouraging us to read the Word, to pray the Word, to memorize the Word. We are not doing it in order to earn his favor or in order to please him. We are doing it because he is already pleased with us through his perfect death and resurrection. That is, we're united to him by faith. We are in perfectly good standing with God. So let it be from his love that we seek to grow closer to him. But as we think about all these things that I'm talking about, being in the Word, reading it together, memorizing it, what's the point of being in the Word? What is the point of studying the Bible? What is the point of knowing it better, of memorizing it? Do we delight in a page or a person? Do we love a book or the beloved? Do we love the Word or the Word made flesh? So imagine with me a wife at home, and she receives letters from her husband who's off at war. And these letters, you can imagine, are treasured possession to this wife. She misses her husband. After a year away, the husband is able to come home early, and he surprises her with a knock at the door. Now, would that wife, who maybe happened to be reading the letters at that time, open the door, see her husband, say, "Oh, I'm sorry, honey, I'm reading your letters." Slam. Would that be how she responded? No, she would throw the letters down and come to her husband, because he is the prize. Brothers and sisters, this is God's holy word. It communicates his heart to us, but this is not the end. The end is who it reveals, Jesus Christ. Jesus is our love. And so as we are seeking to be in the Word this year, His holy Word, it is so that we grow closer to Jesus, who is the Word made flesh, who is the goal and the prize. Indeed, through this Word, now we see in a mirror dimly. But when He comes back, we will see face to face. And that is the great day that we're looking forward to. So, on our journey to Him, let's get closer to Him through His Word. So as you're in the Word, here's our first application today, specific application. As you're in the Word this year, look for Jesus in the Word. As you read Leviticus, look for Jesus. He's there as He fulfilled every minute detail of the law so that you could be saved. Look for Jesus in the Exodus, that He is the Passover lamb that was slain for us. Look for Jesus in the prophets, all the predictions and the prophecies that He would perfectly fulfill, hundreds of prophecies fulfilled by Christ. Look for Jesus in all the foreshadowings in the Old Testament of the temple, of the promised land. Look for Jesus in all the promises in the Old Testament, because all the promises of God find their yes and amen in Jesus. So as you're in the Word this year, all of the Word, look for Jesus. And as the Children's Bible famously says, every story whispers His name. He's there. So let's fight to be in God's Word this year. But we have to remember, we're fighting because we have the delight of Jesus by His grace. Is it not amazing that He delights in us? So our second point today is, as we're fighting to be in God's Word, we do have to fight to delight in His Word. It is a fight. That is the battle line. There is a battle fought in the hearts of men and women. What are we delighting in? This psalm tells us, it divides the line for us, that there's only two ways to live. There's the blessed man and the wicked man. The blessed man delights in the Word of God. The wicked man delights in the world, which is sinful. So you can delight in the Word, and you can delight in the world. Those are the only options, really. And for believers, there's this battle. Although we've been born again, although we've been saved by His grace, we still have a sinful nature. There's a battle in our own hearts and our own minds. And when you have faith in Christ, faith starts to fight, because you know that you have this great God and you want to follow Him. So let's be like Jesus, who is the blessed man. So the two ways to live, the blessed man, delighting in God's Word, has joy, deep and abounding happiness. This is what the word blessed means. The word blessed there, which says blessed is the man who delights in the Word, that means that person is happy. There is happiness to be found in delighting in the Word of God. That's a battle worth fighting for, right? Deep and abiding happiness and joy. So to delight in the Word, in verse 2, delights in the law of the Lord, on His law he meditates day and night. I think you can boil that down to trusting what you read, believing it, trusting and obeying. We don't just see it and give some type of mental assent to the Word, but He is our Lord, so we submit ourselves up under Him, and we seek to obey His Word. Certainly not perfect obedience on our end, but true obedience, and in a growing measure over a long time. So the person who delights in the Word has a fruitful life. I love this image of the tree. planted by streams of water, that yields its fruit in its season, his leaf does not wither, and all that he does, he prospers. The blessed man who's delighting in the word is known by God. The Lord knows the way of the righteous, verse 6. So that's the one way to live. The second way to live is the wicked. The wicked man lives to delight in the world. He's not delighting in the word of God. He's not delighting in Jesus Christ. But he's delighting in the world. So sin, indeed, tries to mirror, you know, God's good plan for us. We should find our happiness in God and in his word. Sin does mimic that. There's a certain temporary thrill of sin, right? But we know the end is death. So the wicked man described here is not like the righteous man who's righteous by faith in Christ. The wicked is unrooted. That's even a real word. The wicked is rotting, not like a tree planted by water, but there's rotting, there's decay, there's death of soul, there's a barrenness of soul for the person who delights in this world, who delights in sin apart from God. There's no future there, there's no hope, there's no joy. In the end, it says, verse 4, the wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. So for those who don't know Christ, for those who don't find their delight in Jesus because they know Jesus delights in them, the end are these horrifying words that they will hear from Jesus on the judgment day. I never knew you. There can be no scarier thing to hear from the Lord of all creation. I never knew you. But the good news of the gospel is there's still time. As long as it is called today, as long as there's breath in our lungs, there's time to have forgiveness and to be received by Jesus. So that on that day, instead of I never knew you, which we deserve to hear, you could hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Come into the joy of my Father. So that is open to anyone who comes to Christ. It's a gift given by faith in Jesus. And so as we fight for joy in the Word, there's this battle to be fought in our own hearts. Let's not be passive in the Word this year. You know, I heard an illustration. Sometimes we're very passive about how we pursue our relationship with God. It's almost like we're just waiting on the weather. Oh, God, it might rain today, it might not, but whatever happens, I'm just going to let it pass over me. Oh, maybe I'll get in the Word, maybe I'll read a little bit of this, maybe I'll study this, maybe I'll join this study. But we'll just kind of see what I feel like. Let's not be like that, brothers and sisters. This is the source, the only source of joy. And of knowing God, and of growing in our faith. Is there anything we should be more intentional about than how we relate to God's Word? Is there a single thing we should be more intentional about? Don't we plan things like work and family and meals? Should you plan how you spend time in God's Word? I think we should. Maybe instead of being passive, like just letting the weather flow over us, let's be like this, like a hunter who is seeking something, who's seeking a closer walk with God. And you know that as you are seeking that, you're really seeking your joy and your peace and all of the fruit of the Spirit. So there's this great quote by an author, Flannery O'Connor, who says this, "Picture me with my ground teeth stalking joy, fully armed too, as it's a highly dangerous quest." So we should be like a hunter seeking after our joy in God and all the fruit of the Spirit that comes with that. Or you could think of it this way. It's the difference between like having a happy meal versus having a gourmet meal at Emile's, the wonderful restaurant where Justin works. There's a big difference between that, right? Maybe my kids might prefer the happy meal. But for those of more refined palate, we would know that there's a big difference of a quickly eaten meal versus sitting down and enjoying and savoring every bite. Enjoying the fellowship that you have around the table. So that's what we want in God's Word. We want to be intentional to go after the Lord. We want to slow down and enjoy what we learn about Him through His Word, through meditation, through prayer, through memorization. So our application for this point is, this year, as you're getting into God's Word, go for breadth and for depth, okay? Go for breadth and for depth. So yes, read. We have Bible reading plans. We can read the whole Bible in a year. Or maybe if you've never done that and you want to do something more manageable, you want to read the whole New Testament in a year. Whatever it would be, go for breadth. That's good. But don't just stop there. Go for depth in the Word. And I think one great way to go for depth in the Word, to enjoy that meal, is to memorize God's Word. As you memorize God's Word, He transforms you. Because your mind is just chewing on the words and the passages and the truth that's revealed there. So if you feel like you just don't have much time to get in the Word, I know sometimes with young kids it can be hard, or in a busy schedule as a student it can be hard to spend lots of time. No problem. If you have 3 minutes a day, you can slowly memorize God's Word. And the amazing thing, if you take 3 minutes and you're writing down God's Word, the verse you're trying to memorize, you're saying it out loud a few times, the amazing thing is you will be able to take that thought with you all day because you spent 3 solid minutes focused in, zeroed in on one small verse. Then the rest of the day, as you think, oh yeah, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, or stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of scoffers. You can be reminded of that, and that can turn into a prayer. God, help me to have my thoughts on you. Help me not just to be like everyone else in this world who doesn't know you. Help me to be like your true follower. So there's a great power in memorizing God's Word. And if you're looking for practical help, it is all about repetition over time. Just a little bit. So that's consistent and disciplined. So you can use note cards. You can use your phone, all kinds of reminders. You can repeat it several times out loud. I would also encourage you, if you want to memorize God's Word, don't go alone. Have other people with you. Maybe have a small group of people that you can text and say, hey, here's our verse this week. How you doing? How's it going? That accountability can help. So I encourage you, brothers and sisters, fight for your joy. Be intentional. Memorize God's Word this year. So our last point is that it's not just a fight to delight in God's Word. That's kind of the inner battle. Because we have our sinful nature that doesn't want to take delight in God's Word. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us that is helping us and encouraging us to. But we are also fighting for delight in God's Word. So this is more of the motivation. We have a motivation that we know that the outcome of spending time in God's Word is knowing God better. So that's what we're going to do forever, brothers and sisters. We're going to know Him. That's the great joy, the great gift, the great goal of heaven. The heaven of heaven is God Himself. It does say, blessed is the man. Like I said earlier, it's happiness. There's a happiness and a joy for the man and the woman who is spending time in God's Word, meditating on it, trusting, obeying. Don't you want more love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control? Do you want those things? I do. This is how we get them. It's by God's grace, through His Word, as we're spending time in it. Don't you want to be like a tree? Trees are really amazing part of God's creation. It says here that as we're meditating on God's Word daily, we'll have streams planted by us. So it's like constant source of refreshment, constant source of life and happiness, right there with us at all times. A tree planted by streams of water. We'll bear fruit in season. We'll be a blessing to other people. We won't wither when hard times come. We'll be rooted in the rock-solid Word of God. It says here, the person who is delighting in God's Word and all that he does, he prospers. But one note on that, I will say this is not what's known as prosperity theology or the prosperity gospel, which is not a gospel. It is not true. So the godly, if you know God and you want to be like Him, you want to labor your life for His glory, not just for yourself. And I think that's where the prosperity gospel flips things around, that the prosperity gospel would take a verse like this and say, oh, look, if you're in God's word, everything you do will prosper. So that means money and cars and great relationships and never sick and all these things. That is against many things the Bible teaches, that even Jesus himself was poor and Jesus himself was nailed to a cross. So the prosperity theology fails, even just holding it up to Jesus. But so, if what does it mean then? And all that he does, he prospers. Well, if you know the Lord, you want to labor for him. You want to live for him. So that means you want to sacrifice your money for heavenly treasure. You want to get rid of earthly treasures for the heavenly treasure, for God's glory. And that you have joy, not because you have a big bank account or a new car. You have joy because you know God. And you're growing your relationship with God and you're sharing with others so that they can know God. So this is what it means. And all that he does, he prospers. All that you do for his glory is going to prosper. He's going to be glorified in you. And you're going to get joy. You can get every good thing that your heart really desires. The fruit of the Spirit. So that's what it means if you're in God's word. All that he does, he prospers. And we see the gospel here in these verses too. How it says here, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Verse 5 is all of us, naturally. We can't stand before God in our own strength, in our own righteousness. But the Lord knows the way of the righteous. So if you know the Lord, before that knowing, he has set his love on you. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. He knows the righteous. To know God means you are known by him. You're loved by him. You're forgiven by him. And to be righteous, as it says here, is not a righteousness of our own, but it's a righteousness that we have through faith in Christ. That we are united to Christ and we have his perfect righteousness. And just think of it, brothers and sisters. You know God. God of all the universe, and he knows you. Even more amazing, the perfect Father of heaven knows you, and you know his loving care. The perfect Savior of heaven knows you, and you know his endless mercy. The Holy Spirit, the perfect Spirit of God, knows you, and you know his sweet comfort. And the Word reminds us of all these things. When we have doubts, when we have lies from Satan attacking us, the Word reminds us the truth of God's love for us. Why would we not want to be in the Word more this year? That is the desire of my heart. So as I was thinking about this image of a tree, it says he'll be like a tree. I thought it was amazing how trees are a blessing to many people, even animals, right? Think about trees, all the birds that build a nest in the trees. Think about the squirrels who play on the branches of the trees. Think about what the trees give for us. We get fruit and nuts from trees. We get shade on a hot day from trees. We can even use them wisely to build and to have dominion over the earth and to cultivate it. Another amazing thing about trees that our own Will could tell us, a forestry guy, trees live a really long time. Some trees live thousands of years. So there's a long life in the life of a tree. So what does it have to do with us? Well, we see a tree blesses many people. And if we are in God's word, we too will be a blessing to other people. And so Grace Fellowship this year, as we want to bear fruit for God, bless other people with God's word. As you're in God's word, don't just be in God's word for yourself. We are in God's word, yes, for ourselves, but also for others, that we can bless them with these life-giving words, these words that reveal the Savior, that teach us the gospel. So, brothers and sisters, bless each other. Bless your family with the word of God. Encourage your family with the word. Bless each other in this church with the word as you counsel each other, as you share your burdens and you want to speak truth and love. Bless each other the word as you learn the word together. be great if our relationships more and more were just interconnected with God's Word, that more and more when we talk to each other, we would say, what is the Lord teaching you in the Word? You know, what is God teaching you? What's encouraged you recently? I read this morning. Oh, it helped me. Let me share it with you. Wouldn't that be great to do that more often with each other? But we can share it not just with each other within the walls of the church. That's where we should start. We should also share it with our neighbors. We should share it with those who don't know Christ. What better thing could we share with them? We can share the good news of Jesus Christ, who is this blessed man, when we fall short, that he died for sinners. He rose again. He's alive to give life to anyone who come to him. We should share that with our neighbors. One, I think, neat way, if you're on any kind of Bible reading plan right now, if you're reading it, would you consider inviting a non-Christian to join you in whatever you're reading? So, for example, I'm reading through one of my readings daily through the Gospel of Matthew. So I know in a few weeks I'll be going through Mark. What if I just reached out to someone who I know doesn't know the Lord, and I said, hey, I'm about to read the Gospel of Mark. The Bible has changed my life. God has changed my life through the Bible. Would you want to read it with me? And maybe we could talk about it. I encourage you to think about that. Maybe there's someone in your life who you can do that with. You can invite to read something in the Word, and then just meet up and see their thoughts. You never know how God might use that to give them faith in Christ, to change their life, just like your life has been changed. So, brothers and sisters, we want to fight for delight in Jesus through His Word this year. That's why this psalm is our psalm of the year. But we cannot do it on our own. Jesus Himself says, apart from me, you can do nothing. So we're going to pray. We're going to spend some time in prayer. And I'll break us up into groups. We'll maybe break or circle our chairs up into two or three groups here in just a moment. But I want to give us four things to pray for. And this is also for our people who aren't here today, who maybe are listening at home. You can know what our four categories are, and then I'll remind us as we go through them. So the first thing we're going to pray for today is that we would love each other with the Word this year. That with the Word, we would love one another in the church. You know, I love how our church has people from different stages of life, all the way from a one-year-old to a getting nearer to retirement age people, and everything in between. So let's love each other with the Word this year. You know, only the gospel could bring diverse people together like that. And I love that in our church. So our first thing, we'll pray that we can love each other with the Word across all these different, you know, ages and stages of life. And I also, during this time, let's also take prayer requests for whoever's in your group, and let's pray for each other. That's one way we can love each other. So the second thing we'll pray for is let's pray that God would grow joyful discipline in us this year. It's going to take discipline. But discipline does not have to be drudgery. Discipline can be delight. Depends on what you're disciplining for. If it's to be closer to God, to know Him, to know His love, to bask in His grace, that's a delight. So let's pray God would grow joyful discipline in us. He would make us like a tree, prospering for His glory. Pray that God would help us to study, to memorize, to read God's Word. So the third thing, let's pray that we would bear fruit this year. Bear fruit. And this is what I mean, as a church. So last year, we saw someone come to faith in Christ. My son. It was awesome. This year, let's pray that we would see more people come to faith in Christ. That more people would say yes to following Jesus. Let's pray for that. That we would bear fruit in season. Last year, we had two people get baptized. Paisley as well as Joshua. This year, let's pray that more people would get baptized, that more people would want to publicly declare, yes, Jesus is my Savior. I'm telling the world about it. Wouldn't that be awesome? Let's pray for more people to follow the Lord in baptism. And last year, we had people join the church, officially become members of the church. And this year, let's pray that we'll have more people who say yes to this faith family. So those are the three things, and one more. So we will pray we love each other in the Word, pray that we would grow in joyful discipline,
pray that we would bear fruit in season. And lastly, oh man, it's the thing we probably should pray the most, but we, at least me, we may pray the least. Three words. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Let's pray for His return. This world is so broken. You know, today is actually the anniversary of Jim Elliot and his four friends who were martyred on the beaches of Ecuador in the 1950s. They were killed by the tribe they were trying to reach with the gospel. It's an incredible story how many of them came to faith in Christ later. And then this morning, I was just reading about persecution of our church family in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Is there militias who go around seeking Christians to kill them, to hurt them? So we need to pray. Pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters around the world, and pray that Jesus would come back and end all the suffering, all the sadness. So I'll lead us in this time of prayer. We'll divide up into groups. And we'll pray all these things for the glory of God and for our great joy in Him.